I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about the idea of hearing His voice. It's an interesting sentence that He speaks to the Jews here. He's talking to the Jews, and He refers to the fact that there are others that are not of this fold, and that's a reference to the Jews. Jesus was sent to the Jews. He wasn't sent to the Gentiles. And He spoke to the Jews, but He said, I've got others that are not part of us. They're going to hear me. And so my question in my mind is, how do we hear Him? Because the vast majority of people God or Christ specifically will ever save will have never heard His physical voice. We won't have heard the timbre in His throat. We won't have heard, you know, what did He sound like? What was the, what was His speech like? Was it fast or slow or quick or loud or deep or high? We don't know the pitch of His voice. And yet He says that we can hear His voice. And so the question in my mind is, how do we hear that voice? And how do we listen to it, especially amongst many, many religious voices in the world? And I don't mean all the different kinds of religions in the world, though those certainly share in it. I'm talking about all the religious voices that talk about God, that talk about the Bible. There are so many religious voices in the world, and this isn't new. It's been happening for a very long time. And I want you to think about this idea. The people He was talking to, He said, when He said, I'm the good shepherd and I know my own and my own know me, He was talking to people who were very religious. And most of the people that He was referring to when He's talking to them and not really following Him, they knew their scriptures as well as anybody. And yet, they hadn't heard God's voice. They weren't part of His sheep. They were missing something. So there's something that goes above and beyond just reading or just listening to the words. There's something more that must happen to really hear His voice. So let's look at this passage in John 10. Continuing on a little bit later in that same chapter, it says, at that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. That actually, Jews today are preparing for this same feast. This particular feast is what is today called Hanukkah. And they were gathered around Jerusalem in preparation of the Feast of Hanukkah, which is remembering some events that happened like 270 B.C., when lamps stayed lit much longer, basically for 8 days, than they had oil for the lamps. And that is what is a reminder of for the Jews. And so He was there at that feast time. It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. And the Jews gathered around Him and said to Him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. Let me ask you just a thought question. Had He told them plainly? Because that's what they asked for here. Can tell us plainly. What they want Him to say is, I am the Christ. Now, He has acknowledged to a handful of people that when they said He was the Christ, He said they were right. But they said it first after witnessing something from Him. So He didn't, as far as I can remember, He doesn't go out to the people and says, listen, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ that you're all waiting for. What He did was He talked and He taught, and He explained and opened people's eyes and minds to an understanding of God and Scripture that they didn't have. And many of them, upon seeing that, or the miracles that he did, realized this is the Christ. But many of those who are asking him here have seen all those same things, but they want him to say it plainly to them. And his answer is, I've already told you, and you didn't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. This is the testimony. What you have seen me do is the testimony I have given to you. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. And I just understand what he's saying. These are people who know the scriptures probably better, who probably have more of it memorized than his own disciples and apostles. And yet don't really understand it. Now, don't make them out to be stupid. They understood parts of it, but they didn't see God and specifically Jesus in them. And we know from scriptures that the Old Testament was given to help people come to a knowledge of Jesus. Paul writes about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But they didn't. Why didn't they? Because they weren't hearing God's voice. Whose voice were they hearing? I'm going to suggest to you they were hearing all the religious voices of their day. That would have come in the form of the rabbis and teachers throughout Israel. And so he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the reasons that he talked about himself being the good shepherd is because why do sheep need a shepherd? First off, you just go and study about sheep and you find out they are the most weak animal essentially in existence with absolutely no defenses and are incredibly stupid and will kill themselves without help. And God is saying, that's us. Now, none of us really like that description when we realize that we're like that, and yet we are. That's what he's telling us. But they have a shepherd, not just to help them, but so that they can have comfort in that voice. They know the voice of their shepherd. They know the voice of the one who takes care of them. They hear somebody else's voice, and they don't run to that voice. They don't run and they don't seek shelter from a strange voice. And what God is telling us is the ones he is saving, the ones that he came to save, and the ones who will hear him will hear that voice and they will go to him. They will follow him because that's the purpose of a shepherd. He leads them. Go back and read Psalm 23 at some point. He leads me beside the still waters. That's what shepherds do. They lead the sheep. Because sheep don't have their own leader. And he says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And so, how can we hear them, especially when there are so many religious voices out there? And so, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 here fairly quickly. Just look at the first four verses there. And I want us to think about something that the Apostle Paul wrote to this preacher named Timothy. And he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. That word charge is the word to testify about something or to put something under a solemn oath. He says, I am putting you under a solemn oath in the presence of God and of Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Now notice that you know that phrase, be ready in season and out of season, kind of strange. Because aren't we normally want to be ready in season? Do you ever get ready to rake up leaves in June? Now a lot of us have been raking up leaves in our yard, right? You know, some of us have very mature trees on our property, and they drop lots and lots of leaves, and we've been doing it for many weeks, and are still not quite done. But I don't do that in June. I don't do that in May. And that's kind of the idea of seasons, right? At certain seasons, there are certain things that happen, and he says, when that season comes, you get ready for it, and you do what's required of that season. But he's telling him here, you've got to do this in every season, whether it's ripe and they want to hear it or whether they don't want to hear it. You've got to keep preaching the word. And why is that, though? Because he says right after this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. The word sound there means sound teaching really is a idea of teaching that makes one sound. The idea of an animal being sound or healthy. He's like, they're not going to endure the teaching that makes them well, that heals them. Jesus came because he is the great physician. He came to heal us, make us healthy. But he says, sometimes we just don't want the stuff that makes us healthy. How many of us ate a bunch of stuff in the last few days that didn't really make us healthy? A lot of. Some of us ate too much of it, still feeling the effects. Why don't we always do the things that make us healthy? We have other desires, don't we? That's what he talks about here. He says, They have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, their own desires. What do I want to hear? I want somebody to tell me those things I want to hear. And I'm not unusual in that. You're not unusual in that. But what we need to understand is that's the human side of us that got us in so much trouble in the first place. Why we needed saving. And so we need to keep eating, metaphorically, the word that makes us healthy. Rather than what? He says, they will accumulate teachers who suit their own passions. What will these teachers do? They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now, so they're not going to talk about the truth of his word. They're going to talk about, the word myth means stories. That's what the word he's referring to. It just means a tale of some sort. It can even mean just talking and speech, and I'm telling a story about something. And he says, I want to hear stories. How many of us like stories? How many of us like the Star Wars story? You know that, I don't know, everybody understands this. I don't want to burst everybody's bubble here. Do you aware that the Star Wars story is based on the concept of Buddhism or Eastern philosophies? That's the root of it. Stories. We like stories. We can go to Greek. Who likes fables? Like, you know, Aesop's fables. Who likes kids' stories? You know, read those kids' books. You know, we like stories. We're always telling stories. Human beings have been doing it from the very beginning of humanity. And we like listening to them. We like hearing them. You know who used to be in cultures prior to any kind of agrarian society, everybody was kind of taking care of growing their own food, living in their own house, providing for themselves. Communities revered and honored the most were often storytellers. The people who told them historical tales or some kind of story. Because can you imagine, without TV, without phones, without any digital device whatsoever, no CDs, no albums, nothing at all except musical instruments yourself or your voice. Can you imagine how boring life would be? For those of us who started life in that era, we remember the middle of summer. By the end of summer, you're dying to go back to school because it was boring. We like stories, but the problem is God has told us a story, and it's not even that big. It pales in comparison to the number of words in J.K. Rowling's story that some people devote themselves to, or Marvel stories. Whatever your version of stories, it could be Hallmark Christmas movies that are your story of choice for this time of year. The problem is, and sometimes I think we might look at this verse and says, they wander off into myths, but are they telling these stories like they're saying, well, don't listen to God, listen to this. All of those people that Jesus is talking to that didn't know him and didn't hear him, they weren't saying they didn't believe in God. They were simply not really hearing God. They thought they believed in God, and when God came, they didn't. And so what he's talking about is not that these are not just people who are going to tell you whatever. They're going to people who are going to tell you things in a religious context. They're still going to fulfill that desire in people that seek God, but seek to make God the way we would like God to be, rather than understanding him as he is. And so how can we hear him in the midst of all these voices? So let's look at this passage. And we're going to close out today looking at this passage in Acts chapter 28. Starting in verse 17. Paul has been brought to Rome. He's a prisoner. He was on trial in Israel. He appealed to Caesar when he found out that the Jewish leaders in the area had created a plot to kill him. And so he appealed to Caesar, and when he gets there to Rome, he calls for all the local leaders of the Jews. Now, these are not Christians, by the way. This isn't the church that he wrote to in the book of Romans. He actually, when he gets there, he first calls all the Jews, and specifically the Jewish leaders. It says that in verse 17. After 3 days, he called together local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar." And he says, "Though I had no charge to bring against my nation, for this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain." And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here have reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." The sect he's referring to are the Christians. And specifically, remember that Christianity came from Judaism. Christianity started as Jews only. And so from the Jewish perspective, at this point in time, they saw Christianity as a splinter group of Judaism, of Jewish teaching. And they wanted Paul to explain the teaching of Christianity. And so he goes on here, 23 and 24, just read those couple of verses. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus. Morning till evening. Think about how this isn't an hour. This isn't an hour or two. He starts in the morning sometime, which would start anywhere from 6 a.m., even if we said it might 8 or 9, halfway at morning gone. Evening starts at 6 p.m. We're talking close to probably some in our neighborhood, 10, 12 or more hours. That he is sitting with them and explaining to them Christianity. Explaining to them Christ. Now, he says, and this is part of verse 23, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. So he's explaining to them Christ from the Old Testament scriptures. He says, some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. So he takes the Old Testament out, scriptures they were all familiar with, he explains it to them, and some of them go, oh, I get it. Some heard Jesus' voice. And others said, no, that's not right. That's not the way I see it. I think you have misconstrued it. And so he goes on, there, verse 25. And you can look at some of those passages. John 8, 35, you see how they were explaining from who Jesus was from scriptures. John 8, 35 talks about it, 24, 14. All those passages in John refer to the fact of the teachers taking the scriptures and helping the people see the voice of Jesus. Not going to go look at them just for time this morning. But then in 25 to 27, he said, and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. So Paul makes a single statement. So they're kind of disagreeing about all the teaching. And then he makes a statement that causes a bunch of people to leave. See, and his statement is, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is a really interesting phrase, by the way. Paul just told us that it was the Holy Spirit who gave the messages to the prophets in the Old Testament. Jews didn't know that, by the way. They didn't even know anything about a Holy Spirit. But Jesus' apostles tell us that the Holy Spirit was active in prophecy from the very beginning. But he goes, this is what Isaiah said, and actually you find this in Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. He says, go to this people and say. And so this is what God told Isaiah to go say. So he called Isaiah and said, listen, I need you to go tell them this. You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. You know who some of those people are he's referring to? Some of them would be called scribes, Pharisees in Jesus' day. You know what a scribe's job was? Well, it kind of makes sense. They made copies, right? But actually, sometimes that phrase is referred to as lawyers. Because the scribes not only copied all the scriptures, they were the expert at what they meant. They were supposedly the lawyers. How many of the scribes really understood it? They thought they understood it. They thought they understood it better than everybody else. But in reality, they misunderstood it more often than not. And so, think about for us who don't spend all that time like the scribes did, spending all of your days studying scriptures, there's a little worry in you, isn't it? Go, well, if those guys couldn't figure it out, how am I going to figure it out? Right? Isn't that something that sometimes you worry about? If somebody who spends all their time doing it can't figure it out, how am I going to figure it out? But sometimes one of the great problems for people who spend all their time doing it is they're too caught up in their own views of things rather than just hearing what God is saying to them. They're too enamored with their own thoughts than they are simply understanding what God is trying to convey. So in some ways, when you look at Jesus, who were the people who really heard him and go, wow, I need to go after him? It was often the common person who could recognize, oh, that makes sense. The word of God did not come for those who sit in lofty towers of intellectual grandeur. It came for average, everyday people. The message isn't so complex that we need others who are far brighter than ourselves to explain it all. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't take some effort to understand, because we know it does, but it's not effort that we can't give. And so he says, for this people's heart has grown dull. So let's look at this a little bit. The heart has become dull. That word dull actually means to have grown fat. Something that we might connect with in the last few days. You feel like, oh, I can't eat anymore. Right? That's the idea of something that has grown fat. It's like, oh, I'm totally full. I'm totally satisfied. Well, and this idea that that Isaiah is talking about is that the heart, which is not in Scripture, the heart does not mean the place of feelings. It means the place of thinking, where I think about stuff. And so he says, in my heart, it's fat. It's like, I'm full, I don't need any more, I'm fine. In fact, don't you hear that with people sometimes when you tell them the message that Jesus came to save you, to help you? I don't need saving. I'm fine. That's the great problem of humanity. We all think we're fine. And God's saying, you're not fine. You need my help. But why has it become that way? And the next couple of passages are really telling us why. Because they actively refuse to hear or understand the voice of God. He says in Isaiah, for this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. The term barely hear means also to groan, has grown dull or fattened. Same kind of a concept that their ears. But it's not like it just happened. They are purposely doing it. They are making it so they, I don't want to hear you. You ever actually seen anybody put hands over their ears so you can't, I don't want to hear it anymore? Do you know that that's actually what the Jews did when Stephen was speaking to him? They covered their ears, ran at him, and said they were biting him with their mouth. Now, I don't know if they literally bit him in flesh or not, but that's what the words used. They stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear this prophet speak to them. These were some of the highest religious people in their world who put their hands over their ears and said, I don't want to hear anymore. He says, and their eyes have closed. They purposely made it so they couldn't hear it. They purposely made it so they couldn't understand it, because they didn't want to spend any time figuring it out. Why did Jesus speak in parables? So that everybody could easily get it? No. So that it would be hidden to those who don't seek it. You've got to want it. It reminds me a little bit of being in school or being in lessons of some sort and you don't really want to be there. What happens when you're in a class that you don't want to be in? It doesn't matter how good the teacher is. And when you really want to study something, does it matter really how bad the teacher is? I mean, assuming they have some at least concept of the subject. Not really. The problem so often in education is the actual heart of the one learning. Do we want to hear it? Do we seek it out? Do we say, okay, I may not get it right now, but I'm going to keep trying to understand. I'm going to seek after that knowledge. Because what Jesus has promised is those who seek will find. Now, in verse 28, as he finished off and he said, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart and turn, I would heal them. So if they wouldn't stop up their ears and they wouldn't close their eyes, he says, they could understand and I could heal them. Now we're coming back to that same idea of sound teaching that makes one healthy. That's what God is trying to do, to help us be healthy. He says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. You think some of the people, some of the Jews left because they heard, well, your guys aren't listening. I'm going to go out to them and they're going to listen. And a lot of those who weren't listening, they left. Because he was prophesying about them. So let's just wrap up here. We don't have to understand everything right away. There are scriptures that are hard to understand. Peter even tells us that, specifically saying that Paul has written things hard to understand. We know that it sometimes takes time. And one of the things that I know I've especially learned, and I've heard others kind of say the same thing, is very often we study scriptures, we learn what scriptures say, we might even kind of have a memory verse or two in our head, and we think we kind of get it, but then circumstances in life get that to that point where it fits. And then all of a sudden, your understanding of the teaching grows exponentially. It's like the best lessons I ever heard on grief came from a teacher right after his wife died. And he had been teaching the word for decades. And he even probably had taught on grief. But his understanding of grief expanded when he was in the midst of it. His understanding of what God said and what God had been teaching grew because he found himself in the midst of it. The great problem so often in our lives is we run across these problems in life and then we go seek scripture to find the answers to it. But if we understand the Word of God and we put it in our heart, and I don't know, some of you who have studied as well, you come across those points in life where something happens to you and a scripture pops into your head. That's what God wants to happen to us. That's what happened to Jesus when he was being tempted. When Satan was tempting him, scriptures popped into his head. I shouldn't do that. And he would say a scripture. And that's why we ought to hear his voice. In fact, think about that as kids. Do we wait till our kids make mistakes before we teach them not to make those mistakes? Or do we tell them, you shouldn't do this, you should do that, you gotta do this? We give them a lot of rules and do's and don'ts, and then they go out and kind of figure out why you gave them some of those rules. We don't really just send kids out and go, well, you'll figure it out. They want to do that sometimes. But that's not really wise. Not great parenting, would it be? So we're not going to necessarily understand. understand everything right away. We're not going to get it right now. But as we go through life and we keep hearing His voice, more and more of it unfolds and makes sense. We can't shut down our listening and our learning from the voice of God, or we're going to become exactly like those religious Jews who desired to see and hear from the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel, the Christ, only to refuse to hear Him when He actually came. I wonder about that danger. How many of us think we know exactly what Jesus was like? Do you think if we were actually in His presence way back then, we might be surprised by some things? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I wonder about that sometimes. Is my understanding imperfect such that I actually, in their presence, would go, wow, I'm kind of surprised. Now, hopefully I would still recognize Him because I have ideally a faith and an ear to hear the voice of the shepherd. But I sometimes think I might that we have imperfect understanding of all this and we might be a little surprised. But we press on, don't we? We keep trying to grow, to hear His voice. So let's stop, end with this passage, Matthew 13, 16 to 17. He said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Blessed are you who hear the voice of your shepherd." We're going to close out this morning. And if you're here today and in need of help in anything, if we can help you, if we can study with you, if we can pray for you, if we can serve you and provide anything to help you, we would be glad to do that. We'll do that with any of our abilities, anything that we're able to or capable of. If there's anything you need that we can help with, please let us know what that might be as together we stand and sing.